the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Well, welcome everyone to today's Lifetime Planning episode. Today we're going to discuss how to eliminate estate and capital gains taxes. And Jim, you've often commented many times on our show that every time we get a new president, basically tax laws change. And that keeps all of us on our toes, having to shift and adapt to the new laws as they come out every administration. So what is it that you're looking at for an individual currently?
You know, Chris, let's begin with the current law. The Trump administration passed a major tax law that brought down tax rates. It increased the exemption on estates, and that remains in effect. However, because it was passed with reconciliation, just as much of the bills are now with either party, it sunsets in 2026. And I want you to keep that in mind if you're listening to this, the year 2026. But currently, the exemption is $12,060,000, meaning that you can pass $12,060,000 to your heirs and there will be no estate taxes. And a married couple, well, you can multiply that with the use of trust. So a married couple could pass $24,120,000 tax-free, and any excess over that is taxed at 40%. So keep that in mind now, because in 2026, that sunsets, and it's estimated that in 2026, it'll revert back to roughly around $5 million plus inflation, which is about where it was with Obama. I think it was around $3.5 million, and then with inflation, it's probably closer to $5 million, and with inflation today, it'll be closer to $6 million. So you have to keep that in mind when you're thinking about estate taxes, because I'm going to show you a way how you can preserve part of that exemption, even though it expires in 2026. And so there's something that was passed in 2011, and it's basically the portability election. It's called DSUE. It's D-S-U-E, and that stands for Deceased Spousal Unused Exemption. So in essence, it's called a portability election. And here's the real key thing. What it allows you to do is to pass the exemption of the deceased spouse onto the surviving spouse. Now, let me explain that for a minute. So right now, we know the exemption is $12,060,000. Let's take an example. The husband dies this year. And let's say you have a $10 million estate. It's a community property state like California. So what happens is, in a community property estate, the husband's half of the $10 million estate would be $5 million. Now, he could do a number of things. He could put the $5 million into a B trust, which would provide the income to the survivor. And then at the survivor's death, the survivor would have a exemption as well. Well, we're going to do something a little different here. So in this case, there's a $10 million estate. So you're definitely going to want to take advantage of the exemption. And right now, we know the exemption is $12 million or $12,060,000. So what happens, and this is very, very important, you have to file what is called a 706 return. It's going to cost a little money, but basically you're going in, you're adding up the value of the estate, which you need to do anyway, because what happens in a community property state is when one spouse passes away, the assets get stepped up to market value. So essentially, you're eliminating any capital gains. So let's say you bought a stock for $10. Today, it's worth $100 and you own thousands of shares. Maybe you own Microsoft, Amazon, or Google. And what happens is when the first spouse passes away, now this isn't a community property state, the market value of that asset at death or 9 months later is the new cost basis to the survivor. In fact, you have situations, Chris, where you take somebody for example, in real estate, where let's say you have rental property, it's fully depreciated, one spouse passes away, the new spouse inherits those properties at a market value and can start depreciating those properties all over again at its current market value. So in this case, in the example I gave you, a $10 million estate, husband passes away, half of the estate is $5 million. What happens is the surviving spouse elects to have the exemption of her husband transferred to her. So right now, that exemption is $12,060,000. So what happens is we transfer the $12 million of her deceased husband's exemption to the surviving spouse. So she now has the $12 million from her husband. And let's say she dies many years in the future when the exemption drops back down to $6 million. Then at her death, she would have an exemption of $18 million. And they have a $10 million estate. There would be zero in estate taxes versus Chris, what could be essentially a $1.6 million tax had they not done this. So this is one way that you can preserve the current exemption of $12,060,000. Now, let me be blunt. In order for this to work, one spouse would have to pass away between now and 2026. But it is a way to preserve the $12 million exemption that currently exists now and transfers it to a surviving spouse. And so you can take, the IRS has made an election, and we're going to get into some particulars here. It gets a little complex. But you can make that election. It's called the DSUE, or D-S-U-E, which stands for the Deceased Spousal Unused Exemption. So if you don't need to use it at the first person's death, you can pass it on to the survivor. So the survivor has both exemptions, her own, assuming the wife is the one that survives, and the deceased husband's estate. And it goes a little further than that. They came in actually with a bill several years ago, and they basically said, we're going to allow you to go back in time and use that DSUE election 5 years after death. So let's assume, for example, that in this case, John and Jane, John died in 2017, 5 years ago. The executor of the estate can go back, file a 706 return, and claim that exemption and transfer it to the surviving spouse. Now, a lot of people say, well, in the example I gave you, the $10 million estate, let's assume that instead of doing the transfer of the exemption to the surviving spouse, what happens here, since it's $10 million, you know there's going to be estate taxes down the road. What you do is you transfer $5 million to the bequest trust. The surviving spouse has $5 million. She dies. Her exemption, $6 million, no estate taxes. But now let's talk about what happens. The $5 million, let's just assume that the $5 million was stocks, everything from Google, Apple, some high value blue chips that have the potential to appreciate even further. The advantage of transferring all the assets or the exemption to the surviving spouse is when the surviving spouse dies, assuming that now the $10 million is all in her estate, that entire $10 million, Chris, gets stepped up to market value. And what this allows is the heirs can now walk away and sell those assets and pay zero in capital gains taxes and zero in estate taxes. And let's say if it's there's stocks, or in this case, let's say there's real estate and you have rental properties, you could actually start depreciating the rental properties all over again at current market value. So there's a lot of little twists that can go here. But Chris, this is a special exemption. Not too many people know about it. Like I said, they passed a law and the IRS made a ruling that you could actually go back 5 years in the past and reclaim this if you haven't done so already. And that's why it's really important when you have a case like this, that you basically talk to an advisor so you take full advantage of this. I mean, quite honestly, there's no reason if you have $18 million or under that you should have to pay estate taxes or capital gains taxes by the heirs if you do it this way. And that's why it is so important to do this kind of planning. Just as we talked last week with Chris van der Zijden about planning for a business, I cannot emphasize, it's really sad sometimes where you see lack of planning. You know, individuals are thinking, well, I'm healthy. And all of a sudden, your health deteriorates and all of a sudden, a sudden death. I mean, just think of, what was it this last weekend? I think her name was Anna Heche. Got herself in a car accident and died at age 53. So there's always these unexpected events that you don't plan for, you're not expecting, whether it's selling a business because of health reasons or all of a sudden the buyer shows up. You have to have a plan. And I guess what I'm telling you right now, this is a provision that will work if one spouse passes away before 2026. It is one way to preserve that $12 million exemption. And remember, that $12 million exemption goes up every single year by inflation. I could see it, Chris, because of the inflation rates where they are now, that next year that exemption could be $12.5 million. So there's no reason why, if you're under $18 million, you should be paying estate taxes or capital gains taxes. And I just want to leave this. If you are in a situation where you have substantial assets and maybe one spouse passed away and you haven't made that disue election, you can go back 5 years if it was, let's say the one spouse passed within 2017. So you can go back 5 years. So remember that, because that's really important, because this is an election that can make a world of difference in saving estate taxes or capital gains taxes. In the example that I gave with the $10 million estate, this would have saved $1.6 million and it would have eliminated all the capital gains on death of the second spouse.
Well, as you pointed out in the very beginning, you know, every administration passes a new tax law, and every time there's these hidden exemptions and provisions that come up that you can take advantage of with just a little planning. And so with that said, obviously that's what we do here. And this segment is the Lifetime Planning episode where we discuss many of these things that hopefully many of you can take advantage. If you find yourself falling within the category that we discussed today, or if you do need assistance with estate planning, tax planning, or our wealth advisory services, Jim, would you mind telling our listeners the best way that they can get in contact with us?
Well, you can call toll-free 888-486-3939. That's 888-486-3939. Or another alternative, you can go to our website, financialsense.com, and just hit the contact button and send us an email. In the meantime, we'd like to thank you for listening. Have yourself a great week ahead.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.